This is Anishinaabe Way, lives, words, and stories of Ojibwe people.
Hi, I'm Hyde Erdrick. I grew up in North Dakota. I'm Turtle Mountain Band of Ojibwe, and I live in the Twin Cities.
Anishinaabe writer and poet Hyde Erdrick has just published a cookbook and memoir called Original Local, Indigenous Foods, Stories and Recipes from the Upper Midwest. The book focuses on indigenous foods from the Anishinaabe, Ho-Chunk, Mandan, and other Midwest tribal traditions. Do you come from a line of good cooks in your family?
I think people in my family are good cooks, yeah. And I think we all love food and share a lot around food. And everybody has a different obsession. So I kind of chronicle the obsessions of my families. I have, you know, a brother who does fermented food. And then I have my sister cans hundreds of jars of pickle and salsa every year, and she thinks res water makes better pickles, which she calls holy water. But it's also a way for us to say that we need to protect the water, and, you know, really there's a lot of threats to the purity of the water on the northern reservations, and I take that on a little bit and make sure that people understand that it's a threat to their food, too. We all share the same water.
And your book actually does incorporate a lot about sustainability and environmental issues, especially when it comes to the protection of traditional foods like fish and wild rice.
Yeah, I don't think people do understand the difference between manumen or hand-harvested wild rice and the cultivated wild rice. But that rice was developed long ago to be a non-shattering form that they call wild rice, but it's Winola Duke said, how odd to even call something wild when it's a thoroughly domesticated crop. And my hope, and I think this is the hope of Native Harvest, which is an organization that sells wild rice, is that if people understand how this rice is processed and really appreciate it, they'll be willing to pay more for it, and with that assistance, we'll be able to protect the rice better. That's my hope.
The book also treats recipes in the way of an oral tradition or a story.
Yeah, the story comes out of it. The story is just as important as the recipe in a lot of ways. I think that's the sharing, that's the flavor of sharing.
We're coming upon the Thanksgiving holiday, which is often a bit of a conundrum for Native people.
Well, I want to rededicate it, and I want a national movement to rededicate it to Indigenous foods and to talking about the gifts of this nation that we gave to the world. Corn coming up from Mexico and Indigenous people fostering, you know, a variety of beans in the upper Midwest that became staple foods across the continent and across the world, really. I really want those things to be discussed and highlighted, and eventually we can just overwrite the myth of the pilgrims and the Indians, which is historically inaccurate anyhow, and talk about the focus on, you know, turkey and pumpkin and squash and cranberries and all those delicious things that for so long were grown here and that we continue to protect in their original forms.
Can you talk a little bit about the survival of Indigenous foods in relationship to the survival of Indigenous cultures?
Well, that's a big subject, but I think that we think of our foods as medicine, and we have strong relationships to our foods. A lot of people, when they talked about corn, talked about our relatives. They spoke about corn as, you know, the being and the spirit that has come to us. The stories that sometimes people put out in their recipes and talking about their recipes were really respectful to the spirit of these things. And I tried to talk about that too, about how I came to understand the regard with which people hold these foods. And coming into that relationship is a very different thing, I think, from the way that mainstream America thinks of this, about food.
Hyde then shared the introduction to one of the recipes from her book that was inspired by her research visits to the North Shore of Lake Superior.
It's called Superior Fish Chowder. Our inland sea tilts at the rim like a bowl of eternal blue light. I could look at it forever, thinking of the abundant life in its cold waters, Cisco's running to the surface, bringing with them the scent of watermelon, or so fisherman Nick Vanderpay tells me. Watermelon, isn't that a mystery? The Great Lakes are a miracle unfolding even now. I wonder if we really appreciate what we share. Vast freshwater inland seas, a wealth of a substance we truly need, water. My ancestors lived on Great Lakes, islands, and shores long ago, and I am always drawn to the waters of Michigan and Superior. I adapted this recipe from the Angry Cafe notebook to remind me of a day spent looking out over Lake Superior. I had been up to Grand Marais, where I brought Manoman, harvested by Grand Portage Band tribal members, and which I later used in this chowder. Around that time, I read that Anishinaabe were fond of sassafras in the old days, so I added filet powder as a seasoning and thickener all in one. If I could make this chowder with water straight from the waves that I love, I would. When I make it right, it tastes of love for and longing to return to those rocky shores one day.
This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People, a series produced by Stacey Droulard, with music by Keith Sekola. Funding for the series comes from the Minnesota Legacy Fund and WTIP Community Radio.